Now I want to get into this last session called Redeeming the Time. Of course, I preached Wednesday night on the four types of giving. I hope you can get that. I had to go through it fast. I do have that explained a lot more, but you'd have to go to my office to do that. I'll explain why I haven't had deficits. The reason why I have never had a financial deficit in my ministry, which is unheard of in the Christian world, is because I know how to redeem time. Because time is very expensive. I'm the CEO of Jesse the Planner's Ministries. In other words, what I say goes. I can say something. I can start something or stop something. I mean that pridefully. I'll give you a prime example before I get into this. I redeemed the time. How can you build a home and be 40% under budget with the finest materials the world has to offer? Carrara marble, golden real marble, stuff like you see at the Venetian, a hotel in Las Vegas. How do you do these things? I redeemed the time. I had a contractor, great guy. All these people, wonderful. But you see, I knew I had to get involved because, see, I would make the final decision. And sometimes there have been so many decisions, you just say, well, that's what I hired you for. And we understand that. But if you want to always be in the black, there's going to be some things, even though you have hired someone or you have the ability to turn it over and they have the ability to do it. But remember this, the vision was birthed in you. They're just hearing what you're saying. And I use this as a prime example because we live in hurricane country of the Gulf Coast. You may not realize you saw the house. If you took the skin off of it, it's huge steel beams. I mean, that you would put in a corporate building that I put this home is, I mean, it is amazing. With 24 X bracing and things, you don't see any of that or what's behind it. But I did that. Now, steel was very, very expensive. Now, Kathy says, why are you always watching that Wall Street stuff? Why are you always doing that? I'm constantly watching. I watch CNBC, anything having to do with business, I'm watching. Because at that time, I knew China was buying all the steel. So China drove the prices of steel through the roof. Got it up to $1,100 a metric ton. You buy it by the ton. And a piece of steel don't take long to become a ton. Because remember the bird cage, the beautiful bird cage that they had at the Olympics, you know, in China, in Beijing. You know, buying it, but anytime somebody was making steel, I mean, boom. But I kept watching it. I kept watching because I knew I was about ready to start and I wanted this steel construction. Now, this session is called the Redeeming the Time. I had to redeem this. It would have passed me by. Because I know it's frustrating. So I watched it. All of a sudden, China shut down their sales. They finished because after they got everything built together, they wanted to do the Olympics. The price of steel began to drop. Now, within a week, this is on a Monday, I'm watching it. And sometimes I'd get up in the middle of the night and go, because you got so many stations in America, get over in the European channels and watch it. Because when you sleep, money's always working somewhere. You got to remember, money never sleeps. It's working somewhere. Now, sometimes I'm like this. Okay, this is what they're doing in Europe. Now, we ain't opened up here yet in America. So I got that time frame, you know, and all kinds of stuff. Watch it. I watch it begin to drop. And she dropped from $1,100 a metric ton to $620-something bucks, I think it was. And I thought, that's a big drop. But America hadn't got up yet, and it ain't Friday. So I called my contractor. I said, when can we order this? He said, we need to order this if you want to start. I said, well, hang on. Give me to Friday afternoon, Eastern Standard Time 5, which would be 4 Central Standard Time. And I'm watching. And I'm watching, you know. Kathy said, what you doing at the house? Don't worry about it, honey. I'll be all right. I just watch it. And, you know, because even a dead cat can bounce. That's called good business. And she dropped to $450 an ounce by 335 ounce by ton by 335 that afternoon, Central Standard Time. I called Richie, buy now. Oh, Jesse, we're going home. You ain't going home. Now, make that order. If we have to send it, fax it, do it now. Because we all had all the plans, you know, the structure, what we needed. So, man, he got on, we did it, okay? The market closed. Now it went from $1,100 a metric ton to $450. We were sealed in at the $450 price, redeeming the time. Monday showed up. By Wednesday, China started buying again. Boom, she went back up to $1,100. I had a wonderful weekend that day. I went, not smart. I'm not smarter than you are. I just redeemed the time. Now, that's more than 40% off that price from 11 to 450. You figure it out. Same steel. Don't make no difference. So I want you to write this down. Redeeming the time is not a matter of theory, but is primarily a matter of practice. You heard the old cliche, practice makes perfect? That's true. Redeeming the time is not a matter of theory, but is primarily a matter of practice. Now, the reason why I did that, because I'm working on something. I knew what I was going to do was going to be very expensive. But if you stay at it and watch it. Now, I'm not what I call a Wall Street guru. I believe Dan is. You know, Dan Stratton is good at it. You know, he says he isn't, but he's very intelligent. I've seen him operate and function. And I've learned some things from Dan. I watch him, you know. I watch some things, you know. Well, you know, but I'm not stupid. I was born at night, but not last night. You hear that cliche all the time. But you see, most people think, who cares? That just cost you. That's a very expensive decision when you said, who cares? You see what I'm saying? Redeeming the time is not a matter of theory, but it's primarily a matter of practice. So I begin to practice these things. So this is the reason why I use that as one example. But over the years, when I began to build Jesse the Planet's ministries, I knew that time could be my best friend or my worst enemy. And I had to hear the voice of God outside the church, not just inside. Because the wealth of the sinner is not inside, it's outside. You got, listen to me, ministers or business people, it's outside. It's very hard to get it inside. You see what I'm saying? That is the key to staying in the black financially on anything you do. And I will not listen to everybody telling me I can't do it. In 1980, when we sold that house, Kathy, 1 North King Court, before the, is it, I can't remember when we went, 84, 85? Now, oil industry just caved in the 80s, especially Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, got hit not with a recession, but a depression. Oil industry shut down. Oil went down to $6 a barrel. I don't know if anybody remember that, but I mean, that was something, boy. And naturally, I mean, you can't make a profit on $6 a barrel, so they just let everybody go. So I'm in the midst of the process. I've got to sell my home. I'm moving to another part, another area. So and I say this emphatically, every real estate agent, now you can't get this. So I said, well, I'm certainly not going to sign with you because you already got dealt. Another one would come. We would like for you to sign with us. You know, we can sell you a house. Now, you can't get this because they went around and seen how the house was set, but people were bailing out. Wealth is not made when things are going good. It's when things are going bad. If you got any sense. I said, well, I'm not signing with you because you're full of doubt and unbelief. Now, the last one was a lady. She cocky. She said, well, you ain't going to sell this house. I said, you watch me, mama. And I'm not a real estate agent, but I promise you, you ain't going to make a dime on this house. But Jesse gonna come out smelling like a rose. I said, in fact, I'm gonna raise the property values all down the block. Well, it just ain't gonna happen because we know, you know. I said, well, do what you gotta do. So after she left, because you gotta get the doubt out. Ain't no use praying around with doubters around. Just tell them to go home. Don't mean to be rude, you're just working on something. Say, I'm redeeming the time. See, because they bring in evil. They don't know they're bringing evil, they just are. So we prayed this. I said, Kathy, give me a hand. We prayed. Lord, the person that comes and see this house, let them fall in love with it. Let them love all the colors. Everything in it that they don't need to do anything. Amen. Short prayer. Don't have to be long. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hello, Lord. And all that kind of stuff, you know. Just Jesus. Oh, and this is what they tell you too. Don't get mad at me if you're a real estate agent. Now, we don't want you around when we sell a house. Yo mama. You're going to get your money. If you have me around, I'm going to make you some money. I don't mean that pridefully. But, you know, they're going through, this is the cabinet and all that kind of stuff. Focusing on the wrong stuff. So anyway, these people want to come see the house, but not wait till we have for sale by owner. So this lady comes and she walks, she gets out of her car. Now she got her mama with her, her husband. So there's three of them. She says, oh, I just hate to come here. She said, you know, I just re-wallpapered my home and all the colors. I just painted it all no more than 2 weeks ago. And my husband just got transferred and has to come here. And we like your house. And here's something else. Your lawn has to be manicured because that's talking to people. Ooh, look at that beautiful yard. Oh, Jesus. Oh, because if it's pretty on the outside, it's pretty on the inside. But my God, if there's a refrigerator in the front yard, you know, it ain't going to be too nice on the inside, right? Man, I wouldn't let weeds grow in my yard. That thing was manicured, looked like a golf course. Still is to the day, every home I've ever had. Make a long story short. She said, I said, sweetheart, let me help you. You are going to fall in love with this house. She just looked. I said, you can look at it if you want, but you just might as well buy it right now. Now, he was standing in the garage, or actually on the slab right before the garage. I said, I'm telling you, this is it. It's going to happen. She said, well, I certainly hope so. She said, I hate the house. Look, she walks in. Well, she goes, oh! Now, Kathy said, let's fix up the house. So she changed all the wallpaper. Kathy picked the exact same wallpaper she picked in her house 2 weeks ago. You see, the Lord even will pick wallpaper for you that you don't think he will. Oh, that's silly stuff. Well, eight years later, your house is still up for sale. All the colors. She says, we don't have to do nothing. I love this home. And her mother says, well, I tell you something, honey, if you don't buy it, I'm going to buy it. Now I got the mama bidding against the daughter. Boom. So boom. Just so bam. I mean, it was over with. In a matter of 5 minutes, I could hear cha-ching. I said, let me go call that real estate agent. I raised the value of the properties all down the street, because this was in a subdivision, by 28%. People begin to sell their houses. Redeeming the time. It's not theory. It's practice. Now, I don't have to do some of the things I do. I know that. And sometimes it's aggravating to do some of the things I do. But if I want to come out, come up, and go over, there's going to be some responsibilities, even though I can hire someone to do it. But it'd be better well served if I did it myself. Write this down. Don't let God's day turn into a moral wilderness by encroachment of the world upon it. This is redeeming the time for the days of evil. Don't let God's day turn into a moral wilderness by encroachment of the world upon it. What does that mean? This, if you want to be on the right path, you need light. That light is a relationship with God. I put God in my business affairs. When we go to do something, we pray about it. And I say, Lord, and I'll tell you this, the older I grow in the Lord, I'm not talking about in age, but I'm talking about in spirituality, the softer he talks. Now, when I first got saved, he had to scream like you do babies. Hey, 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 come here, sweetheart. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. Come here. You got to send 14 or 15 of them out there. Come here, come here, come here. But as you grow older in the Lord, it's called that still small voice. He just gets quiet because he just expects you to hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. So you don't have to shout at you and scream at you, try to get your attention. You should be watching him anyway. Let me say it again. Most people who have seen great success with God have not been perfect, but they sure have been faithful. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be faithful. Amen. You know, I did something with Brother Copeland not long ago on the broadcast. Faithfulness, faithfulness, faithful, faithful, fullness, fullness of faith. You always feel good when you're full. Think about that. So watch this. This is called redeeming the time. And when you see what I'm talking about here, then you realize that I don't let God's day turn into a moral witness by the encroachment of the world. My daughter says, Dad, it just seems like everything you touch works. I said, Jody, let me tell you. I create my world and then I walk in it. Now, I know some of my own employers think, he ain't got to do that. Like if a hurricane's going, I ain't got to do that. But a lot of times, I'm out there with the maintenance guys. Am I right, Mark? I don't have to do that. But I thought, hey, why can't I be a blessing to God's building, too? I don't need to. I got people doing it. And how many times my director of engineering, Ricky, said, they all call me boss. Boss, get out of here, man. You ain't got to do this. I ain't got nothing to do. So I found out, you know, and I like doing things sometimes. And sometimes you have to board up windows and things and things of that nature. So I just go help somebody board up. So when don't need to do it. Oh, bro, just you shouldn't do that. Why? Because I'm the CEO. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying I'm redeeming the time. Actually, what I'm doing is sowing seed. You know why I love to pray for people to be healed? Because if I sow healing, Jesse get health. Right. See, the harvest of healing is health. The harvest of divine healing. When you get healed, it's divine. I don't care if it's a headache or cancer. It's divine. You're not hurting no more. So when I pray for people to be healed, I sow divine healing. I get divine health. And then when I get around people, I sow divine health so I can walk in divine life. I was talking to the Lord the other day, and I said, you know, Lord, I have to talk to you about my years. Since I have a grandbaby, I would like to see Meredith. Her name is Meredith Margot Walker. I call her Eminem. I'd like to see Eminem's baby. Now, I'm going to have to get up in age to do that. He said, well, that's not up to me. He said, that's up to you. You decide when you leave, and you decide when you stay. He said, I have the power to take your life, but not the authority. I said, would you say that again? I said, you almighty God. Yes, I am. I have the power to take your life, but I don't have any authority, so I don't. Actually, Jesse, I can't. Because you see, death and life is in the power of his tongue. His tongue? Whose tongue? So why'd you say God took him home? Why'd you say that? He said, so you make your decision and I'll abide by it. Now, I know people think, who does this cocky preacher think he is? Right? I look you right in the face. Right? I'm just basing this on what he said. Not what I thought he said. But what he said. He said, that choice is within your domain, not mine. Now, redeem the time. What does that mean? Well, do what you're supposed to do. Take care of your body. I do 15 miles a week on a treadmill. I know I'm a little chunky. I like being chunky. I don't like saggy skin. Fill it up. Look at some of the people. Yeah. No, you should look good. Don't misunderstand. But first thing first, can I be honest? I don't mean this problem. I really don't care what you think on how I look. And I don't mean that to be rude. Let me put that on television. I don't really care what you think how I look. Because it ain't none of your business. And I don't mean that to be rude. Excuse me. This is my body.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I like a six pack. Well, go buy one. But I think you should be healthy. But if that's what the Lord's told you to do it. I don't have a problem with that. You want to shave your head, walk around bald, which is cool. Look like an NBA basketball player, that's fine. If you want an afro, okay. If you want long hair, fine with me. Now, I'm not too much into all these earrings in the nose and the ears. Because a hole on the top of your nose, I don't think it was meant for... How do you blow your nose? You done went through that. There's going to be something catching something. But I leave that to you. Well, I want a ring in my belly button. You already got a hole there. What you want another one for? But that's your business. Do what you want to do. I don't get mad about that. Whatever. But anything to do with pain, I'm not crazy about. You see what I'm saying? Now, according to the doctors, according to my cardiologist and all this, I mean, I max out the treadmills. At this weight. And I lose weight easily. I gain weight easily. It's really, it all has to do with discipline. You know, whatever I want to do. You redeem the time. Now, I think you should be healthy. Don't misunderstand me. I've got real low cholesterol. My resting heart beats 41, which is a marathoner's. How did I ever got like that looking like this? I don't know. I told Kathy, I don't care, Kathy, if you get fat. I don't care if you get skinny. That ain't none of my business. All I care about is you. If you happy, I'm happy. But don't ask me if your butt's big. Look at it. I didn't say it was. I don't like, because you can't win. You can't win answering that. Does this make my butt look big? Pass out on the floor. You can't win. You're not gonna, Bill, you're not gonna win. Because if you kind of do this, that's it. You can say, oh no, it's small. Why'd your eyebrow raise up? That ain't none of my business. I didn't marry her body. Married her. Doesn't make any difference. And I'm serious as I can be about that. Now, I want her healthy. Don't misunderstand me. You know, whatever. You know, I don't do those things. I'm redeeming the time. That's a waste of time criticizing each other when we could be enjoying each other. Amen. You follow my point? But I'm very excited when I see some people, you know, whatever they think shape is. Fine, if that's what you want to be. I believe in that. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not against health and by any means, you know. And I do eat some bad things, but not every day. But every once in a while I do eat some bad. I love fried food. I don't eat a lot of it, but when I do, I enjoy it. But you shouldn't eat it every day. It, you know, it clogs you up, but it just, you know, I was raised poor. Man, when a Cajun see a hog scream, oh, Jesus. He going down. Man, Cajun, the only thing you lose on a hog is a squeal. That's it. Just take him out. Well, I said, pork's not good for you. Okay. I'm agreeing with you. Okay. Y'all want me to say something else on pork? Is what y'all trying to wait? And you know, it's amazing, huh? People say pork, the other white meat. I mean, it's just amazing. It's just truly amazing. It's just trying to get whatever. I just can't get over the grandmas and the grandpas. Lived to 95, 98. Ate eggs fried in bacon grease every morning. What's right about that picture? Bacon and biscuits and butter. You couldn't kill them. You try to kill them, they just wouldn't die. You send them to an old folks home, they cook breakfast for everybody. What is that? But you know, I think scientists tells us they are learning more and more about it. And that's fine. But I find when you get real old, but the only thing left that's fun is eating. My dad told me the other day, he said, you know, I need to cut back, son. I got to eat a little bit different, you know, a little healthier. I said, Dad, you're going to be 89. Have a pork chop, Dad. That's what you want. Now, if you don't want it, forget it. You're going to be 89, Dad. You like pork chop? Oh, yeah. Fine. He said, I love Kathy fried chicken. I said, I do too, but we ain't seen a fried chicken from Kathy in 30 years. She can cook, but she go to Popeye's. And Kathy cook good, but she don't have to cook. That don't make no difference either. You know, I don't put those kind of obligations. I don't. You want to go out and eat? We'll go out and eat. You want to cook? You want to do whatever. I'm not bragging on myself. Listen, man. I redeem the time. I don't want to spend my time arguing with this woman. And vice versa. She told me this the other day, and I'll just say it publicly. You know, you need to tell me you love me more. I said, what I thought. I said, no, you hardly ever say it. I said, but every time you buy a Louis Vuitton purse, that's me saying, I love you. No, that's different. Not to me, it ain't. Not to me, but okay. You know, you got to learn. You still learn. It's called redeeming the time. The other day I made the bed for her. She liked the fella. I said, what? Thank you for making the bed. I said, won't you thank me for buying it? I thought that was logical. In other words, there's so many wonderful things we can focus on instead of focusing on what we think we shouldn't do. You follow what I'm saying? Yeah. Write this down. Weeds spill and choke the ground where flowers of heaven were meant to bloom. Redeeming the time. Weeds spill and choke the ground where flowers of heaven were meant to bloom. What I hate more than probably anything in the church is talking about church problems. Somebody mad about something. It's really frustrating. It's very frustrating. People should know better. But they don't. I really finally understand the statement of Jesus, which I think is the most profound statement Jesus ever said. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I used to argue with God. No, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, Lord. I'm telling you, I know these people. Anybody ever kind of thought that? Yeah. They really don't. I'll bring you back something I said yesterday. Principalities work through personalities. They really don't. They really don't know. Because if they really knew it, they would not do it. God created everyone inherently good. Now it's up to us to make that choice if we want to stay good, be good, or go the other way. In other words, in all the churches I preach, and I believe I can say this, because I probably have preached in more churches than probably most ministers. I just give you an idea. I didn't even know this until 4 months ago. Glory, they went looking the archives of my ministry from 1978 to 2012. I have over 8,000 sermons that I've preached that are 8,000 that are in the archives that I'm not even preaching anymore. I have been doing some preaching. This is my sixth time this week. I've been doing some preaching. And I thought, 8,000? How old am I? And yet I'm younger than Jerry Savelle. I am. I'm younger than Brother Copeland. I'm younger than Gloria. She says, watch it, watch it. She looks so much younger than me. I mean, one time me and Brother Copeland walking down in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We was on vacation riding motorcycles. My Brother Copeland's older than I am, but he looks so good. I'm sitting there and this guy walks up right in front of me and Brother Copeland. He said, He said, Jesse, how much older you are than Kenneth? I saw the light just beam in Brother Copeland. It's because of this. It's white, baby. If the lights go up today, follow me. It glows in the dark. It just glows in the dark. You ought to see it under a black light. It just glows. Someone wanted to do, got my schedule. I don't know how they did. Probably called my office and put in everything of my preaching time, how old I should be, the amount of time I preached. I've been preaching full time for 34 years. I've been preaching actually 36 years, but full time evangelism for 34 years. And I'm going to come Monday at 12 o'clock noon. It was when I was born on July the 9th, 1949. I'll be 63 years old come this Monday. Okay. At 12 o'clock noon. But according to what I preached and the work that I've done, I should be 96. Don't tell me I look it. The amount of going, even John Coleman said, Judge, you're the most busiest man. We asked you to come to do television with us. You fly in, I get to Kent, Brother Copeland, Sister Copeland's house at what? Usually 11:30, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. They're so kind. And they leave the door open for me because we got to be at 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. We're eating breakfast. Boom, we're in at the studio. Just coming there. And it's just truly a blessing. It's truly a blessing how they treat me. Didn't one time, I can say, I thought that was kind of funny. I went the last time they just take care of you. So one of the girls got a phenomenal home. And so we had dinner that night. It was wonderful. Now, that, I rode hard and put up wet. But, you know, you got to suck it up. And all of a sudden, Brother Copeland says, whew, we're finished eating. Had a really nice dinner. Yeah, I guess, well, Jesse, we're just going to go to bed. It was 7 o'clock. Now, I don't think they realized it was 7 o'clock. I was glad they were going to bed. I didn't say nothing. I went, oh, okay. Thank you, Jesus. Well, man, I mean, I went in that room. Bam! Because I sleep like a log in Gloria's house. Oh, Lord. I mean, I just pass out. You ever woke yourself up? Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? What was that? Who's in this room? I was so tired. We got it the next morning. We're going to have a little breakfast and we're going to do day two of the broadcast. And brothers and sisters, they said, Jesse, we want to apologize to you. I said, well, man, we didn't even realize it was 7 o'clock. Man, you know, you might have wanted to do something. I said, oh no, everything's fine. I was so glad. You look good this morning. Thank you. I got more than 3 hours of sleep. Lord, I just slept, boy. I'm glad. I believe the Lord wanted that to happen. I needed to rest myself. I mean, just running all the time. Not bragging on that. Redeeming the time. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a big statement. So I want flowers to bloom instead of weeds to choke out things. And someone's always trying to get me into some kind of my homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological opinion on such and such so I can draw... Make someone, in other words, iron sharpeneth iron. They use that, but really, they think, well, if he said, we can get to him. What do you think about this? I get some of the, and you know, when you're on television, and especially if it's a person that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, there's two things they're going to ask you about. I don't care what it is, where it is, it's coming up in the interview. Number one is how much money you make. They are going to focus on that. And what's your theory or opinion on homosexuality? If you get past those two, then abortion's coming next. I mean, I could write the script. I know what's coming. They don't realize how prepared I am. And because I know the devil don't have no new tricks. He asks the same question in every generation, just in a different way. And if you understand how he does it, which is very simple, because he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. So you can outthink him. And you certainly can outlast him. Because he gets very frustrated. Think about that. So I don't want to talk about a church split that happened in 1932. I wasn't born in 1932. I had a kid the other day look at me and says, when was you born, Brother Jesse? I said, I was born in 1949. You could see in his eyes, and he's walking. I said, well, when was you born? 1998. I said, well, we had to take care of the place till you was born. But you can see in his mind, and he can walk. Redeeming the time. Write this down. The thoughts of multitudes are fixed upon gaining rights rather than the fulfillment of their duties. Let me say it again. The thoughts of multitudes are fixed upon gaining rights rather than the fulfillment of duties. You ever notice something about Jesus? He gave up all his rights. If he would not have given up his rights, we would not have had a Bethlehem. We would not have had a Calvary. None of that. The Bible said he emptied himself out and focused on his duty. And we're always trying to say, let's get our rights. But if we therefore imitate us of God as dear children, we really should be focusing on our duties instead of our rights, even though we may have a right. Think about that. He emptied himself out. He was God and became man. It was not right for them to kill him. It was not right for him to be born in a stable. This is the King of Kings. This is God Almighty in the flesh. Gave up all rights and focused on his duties. He was redeeming the time. He knew he had 3 years. Watch this. To change Jesse the Planus, who would be born 2,000 years later. He had 3 years of implementation to change you. And you wasn't even, you weren't, your parent, you was non-existent, but not in God's mind. He saw you sitting here today with an iPad.
Amen.
He prepared that. Isn't that amazing? And I believe in rights, don't misunderstand me. But my God, Jesus focused on his duty. I've had some people say, but you have, I have my, you know, as your ministry gets bigger and as you become more successful, you have to have more lawyers. This isn't a litigating world. Everything's done by litigation. I mean, it just drives me nuts. I used to like it when you'd walk up to somebody and say, we got a deal. And you shake their hand, look them in the eye. Buddy, you didn't break that. Because if you broke that, everyone in town knew about it, never doing no business with you. I like that. When I built my ministry, I decided not to use lawyers. Everybody thought I was crazy. In my first contract, I said, if I tell you something, I'll do it. And I shook his hand. I said, we're going to do this the old way. And in 4 years of building Jesse Plant's ministry, nonstop, I mean, building, building, boom, 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 boom. We never had an argument. He fulfilled every obligation, and I did so. When I built my home, the one that I was talking about last night, never signed a paper, never signed a contract, never signed nothing. I have the, and I mean this private, I have the reputation. If that man shake your hand, you can take it to the bank. He going to do what he says. And I tell you what, anywhere I go, I said, can I do that? They said, Reverend, do whatever you need to do. We know about you. And I'm not bragging on that. I'm bragging on Jesus because, you see, Jesus personally took me by the hand, looked me in the eyes, and he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You are my boy. You are my child and will always be. Do you understand that? Call on me at any given time. Boom. We've never discussed it since. I call on him at 3 o'clock in the morning. He'll wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I tell him, we're sleeping down here. He said, get up. We need to talk. It's called fellowship. I have the right to stay in the bed. But my duty is, what shall I do for thee? So I get up and I go before him with the elements. I built a chapel in my home. I have a phenomenal chapel. A chapel. I have pews that are over 200 years old in it that I got out of churches in Scotland and England. We researched and found them. I have a beautiful home. And yet I was looking not too long ago on the side of the pew, Gloria, and I saw a name. And then it hit me. These were the people that purchased the pew 200 years ago. I wanted a baptismal. You know when things, like they're having a catch, they're really beautiful. So I got one. And I looked and there was a name plaque on it. And I had one of my guys, I said, let's find out the descendants of this person. It's 250 years old. We found the people in Michigan, the descendants. Listen to this. This will bless you. We're redeeming the time. Watch this now. It's the most amazing thing. We found them. I got this out of a church that they were closing in Edinburgh, Scotland. Purchased, they had a person, and he was just, got it from him. Oh, I want this thing for my chapel, man. It just look good. Just nice. We call the people. Who is the oldest person in your house? Well, my grandmother, she's 78 years old. I said, can we talk to her on the phone? Yeah. I said, do you have a great, great grandmother and grandfather from Scotland? Well, yes. I said, there was a church in Scotland. She goes, oh, yes, they just closed that about a year ago. I said, your family, as an honor to the church, bought a baptismal and placed it in that church. Yes, my great, great grandfather and mother. I said, are their names such and such? It's on the plaque. I said, yes. I said, well, ma'am, I'm Reverend Justin Plants. I want you to know that. She said, well, I often wonder what would have happened to that. I said, well, I want to let you know your great, great grandmother and grandfather, who your family honored, that baptismal is still in a chapel in God's house. They bust out crying. I thought, and yet the people, when I went to pray, you want me to take it off? No, no. We're going to honor those people. Now, that was done way back in the 1800s or whatever, or late 1800s, going in. Yeah. You said, you mean? I said, no, I want to keep it on there. Well, I redeemed the time. Yes. Yes. That's a beautiful piece of artwork. Don't misunderstand me. But they couldn't believe. You mean? I said, so we're going to honor your great, great grandparents. That gift that was given in their honor is still in a chapel of God Almighty. They just were so blessed by that. That was a wonderful thing. We just had to find out. We just had to let them know to redeem the time. So the pews that I got, they got names on them. And I think when I go in there, and I go in every morning when I'm home, and Kathy got me a thing where I can take communion. It's wonderful. And I said, Lord, how many people sat on this pew and prayed these prayers? And honored you, ministered to you. It's my favorite room in the house. I love going in there. I said, Lord, let it be like the Ark of the Covenant. Let the blue smoke stay in here. Because in those days, this kind of house had their own chapels, cemeteries. You know, I have a big, huge plantation home that I live in. And I just love that room. And I could just sense his presence as I'm walking down that hall toward it. It's great when I walk in there and say, Lord. But I wonder how many. I even have a bishop. I have a bishop chairs that are 250 years old. Where the bishop sat. And not long ago, I caught Kathy in there. And, oh, she had her eyes closed. And she was praying before the Lord. And I was real. I mean, I was like a cat. You couldn't hear me. And I slipped up behind her. Let me hear how my wife prays when she doesn't know I'm here. So I'm sitting behind. She didn't hear me. And she's just ministering unto the Lord, praying. She prayed for me. All of a sudden, she starts singing. Oh, Jesus. And she sang unto the Lord and just blessed. And I just kept listening because I realized I was in the presence of holiness. Amen. So I just sat. I was right behind her. Maybe like you, Kathy, about this four. I was sitting. She didn't even know I was there. I mean, I was like a cat, man. I was quiet that day. Finally, she goes, thank you, Lord. And she gets up. She goes, oh, what are you doing? I said, hearing you pray. I said, that was good, Kathy. I said, that was a blessing. I said, you sang before the... Oh, you know, but I sang off pitch. Well, I said, that's not the issue. You sang before the Lord. You enjoyed yourself. I said, that's fine. She said, I'd have been so embarrassed. I said, no. I said, that was wonderful to hear people pray things that are coming directly out of their heart and no one knows that you're hearing. I said, well, that's kind of sneaking on somebody. Yeah. But I needed to hear that prayer and hear those prayers, you see. And it wasn't about her rights. They were all prayers about duties. Lord, this is what you want us to do. This is what we will do. Whatever it takes, whatever amount of money it takes, just whatever, we redeem the time. And I'll be honest with you, not sounding bragging, I can pull a week in one day. I can redeem that time. By allowing them to do some things. Now you have to learn to delegate, don't misunderstand me, so people can grow in the knowledge of the truth. But there's some things, even though they can handle it, it's good that we do. Why? Because it keeps your vision fresh when it's hands-on jobs. I'll say this in close. When Hurricane Katrina hit, most ministers in the New Orleans area were in hotels in Houston, Dallas. Ever was nothing wrong with that. No electricity, no water, no sewage facilities. Banks were blown away because you couldn't use a credit card. All that was shut down. All the lines were down. Cell phones didn't work. All the cell phone things were gone. Nothing. Only thing that worked was a gun. I've seen end times. People kill you for a biscuit, boy. When you've been on top of a bridge for 4 days without no water and 98 degrees, 100% humidity, children, no clothes, just you got 12 foot of water in your house. But thank God that the Lord allowed us to go home. No food, no electricity. Talk about hot. But we went home. I said, we got to help some people here. And I knew my place would not be destroyed. Not that I was better, but I wasn't believing for it.
That's right.
And thank God we were able to open up Covenant Compassion Center. And what I did not realize is how many of those people came from everywhere in America that needed ministering to. Not only the people that didn't have none, but all the army and the National Guard and people. And it was such a blessing. But after 5 days without taking a bath, but everybody smells the same. You have over 500,000 refrigerators with rotting food. No electricity. Imagine what that smells like. I never missed a meeting, but we could smell 50 miles out on the plane coming in. Over 500,000 refrigerators with rotting food. Do you realize what that refrigerator stacked as high as that video? People just rotting. And I saw the lights begin to come on and electricity. There was none. Black. I never forget when we flew and we went, my pilot said, boss, look, one light on one street. And I couldn't take a bath, so I told people, you want me to preach? I ain't gonna smell good. I ain't gonna look good. But it don't make no difference. And a pizza place opened up, Bill. Lord Jesus. Lord God Almighty. When a pizza place opened up, I'm telling you, I'd say from here past the building, outside, people standing in line to get a pizza. Food. By this time, man, the government's trying to bring in water, ice, MRE, military meals ready to eat, whatever we call those things, something. But a pizza, buddy, was like heaven. And I would say that the front of the, we were about right here, and where the counter to order the pizza would be the back of this auditorium. People saw me, oh, Dr. DePlan, Reverend DePlan, watch you on top. We'll just go to the front. No, we ain't going to the front. No, thank you. We'll stay right here. We know better than you are. Boy, I mean, I went all the way up the line, behind the line. You know, he could have went to the front and got out of here and got some. No. See, right is right. So we just did this. Praying that God don't let the pizza run out before we get there, you know? Remember that, Kathy? Just... When I got to the front, the guy said, Reverend, how you doing? what can I do for you? I said, I want the biggest pizza I can get. And I want you to put this much cheese on it. Y'all heard me say this before. I said, why you want so much cheese? I said, I want something to lock me up for about 5 days. You understand? He go, I understand, man. He said, all of us got the same problem here. You ain't no toilets. You ain't got nothing. Listen to me, nothing. Imagine Dallas shut down, Fort Worth shut down, nothing. That's what happened. And it worked. What, have you ever prayed for electricity in your life? You pray for electricity. Water, good. You don't realize the essentials of life. Woo! But we redeemed the time while waiting on it. Helping people, doing whatever we could. You know who did it the best? The old people. Young people just complain. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Here you got a 78-year-old woman and an 80-year-old man walking around. They said, what's the matter with y'all? What's the matter with y'all? What y'all crying for? Just get in the house and clean up the thing. Here's a rag. It's called clean. Do something. And they'd be out in the yard. It's amazing. That elder generation, they kick up this TV guy says, well, how y'all doing? And she's some 78-year-old woman. She said, if y'all get out of here, me and daddy will fix this house. Go on. But y'all need some, ain't no help. Just go on. And but they worked from 6:30 in the morning, 6:30 at night, pulling out sheetrock or what y'all call it, drywall, whatever. I mean, and man, we went back over there. I said, y'all doing okay? Hey, I said, we got some food. You want some sandwich? Oh, thank you. But, and I said, y'all not disturbed? No, man. No, you just do what you got to do. I said, that's what the world needs to hear. So next time some of you younger people think that the old people ain't worth much, listen to some of them people. Because if something goes crazy, go to their house. They're going to have food. They're going to know how to survive. And also things begin to kick. But you know what? The people that got up quicker were the ones that redeemed the time. Just redeeming the time. I mean redeeming it. So I told the Lord, I said, I want to say this. That I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Amen. I want to go through my whole ministry with never, ever having a financial deficit. I've never had to lay off anyone. I mean, I ain't looking for nothing in all my years. In any way, shape, or form. I said, but God, I want to believe that. And he says, it's all within your power. What are you willing to do for that to come to pass? And I realized what he said. And I said this, duty. Whatever my duties are, I will do them to the best. And when I preach for Kenneth and Gloria, I don't think of Jesse the Planet Ministries. I don't think of this. I think of Kenneth Copeland Casey and Kenneth Copeland Ministries, not only here, worldwide, because I've preached in the other areas where they had other offices and things of that nature. Not bragging on that, because you see, that's duty. And you know, in all these years, we ain't had one argument. Do you know any other ministers ever preached this long without fighting? Come on, Matthew. Come on. He ain't had a fight. Me and Brother Copeland hadn't had a fight. Me and Jerry had a fight. Me and Creflo had a fight. Glory, none of it. All these years. Zero. Why? We honor each other. But the Bible says, give honor to whom honor's due. This is their meetings. They run in the show. They tell me to shut up. I shut up. I don't get mad about it. Just shut up. But you know what? They're trying to serve us. Do you know when Brother Copeland turns this crowd over to me, he's trusting me with you? Do you realize how much these people love you? They will do anything for their partners and friends. And he'll say, Jesse, lead him to the Lord. Do whatever. It's yours. Take all the time you want. Do whatever. He ain't worried about, somebody might give him some money. I ain't never heard that one time in this ministry. They just pray for God to bless you. Am I right, Bill? Am I telling the truth? It's the truth. They don't care. Just whatever the Lord tell you. Wednesday night, call me about 6 o'clock. I know that's coming on the night that I preach. Jesse, this cometh. I said, hello, Brother Copeland. Listen, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, whatever you want to do, just let the Lord lead you. God, just yours. I said, okay. Then he says this, what would you like with me to do? What? You know, listen, Jess, I'll just go sit in the corner if you want me to. What would you want me to do? Now, that's honor. And honor is a gift that a person gives to themselves. No one can give it to you. You have to give it to yourself. Once you give it to yourself, then people will honor you. He's talking about, this is his ministry. This is her ministry. Do you understand that? Do you realize that that don't work hardly anywhere else? Preachers, am I telling the truth? Ooh, Lord. Doesn't make any difference. You ever hear a guy say a meeting of this? Do you have no concept of the budget to put this meeting on? And he tells me, forget about the offer. That don't happen in other ministries. You know what they tell us? Can you get us an offering? Oh, Jesse, Lord, I know you have money run roll to you. Can you help us out it? Am I telling the truth, Bill? I'm telling the truth here, man. That's redeeming the time. So stand to your feet. I know I've held you long. It's 4:07.